The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on the break!
With Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Ambar Garcia, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Friday, September 30th, 2022, season 18, episode 41. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break Live here from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. We are presented by Miller Lite. It is the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. And we've got a full show for you guys today. We got a lot of stuff to get you guys ready for Cowboys versus Commanders. And we will take phone calls throughout the show. Call us 888-855-2297. Again, it is 888-855-2297. And we'll try to get to you guys as you call in, as we're talking about other things throughout the show. How's everybody doing this morning?
Good.
I'd be really good if William would have posted this thing. I'm trying to retweet it.
Wow, you just call William out like
I love
okay.
William. William's one of my favorite people.
And you know he's listening now, too. He's listening. So
I know, William. I love you, man. I'm just trying to help you out, brother. Just
William,
give me.
William,
oh, there you go, William.
William may be our best fan because he listens to every single episode, doesn't miss an episode, and always has commentary after the show about something that he liked or didn't like about the show. So he might be
it's
our
usually
number
one. Doesn't like me, and that's okay. I'm all right with that.
All right, let's jump in. Let's get some updates on a couple guys that we're trying to find out if they're going to play this week. Jayron Kearse, Dalton Schultz, what are we hearing?
I think both of them have a chance to
both have a chance
to play. Yeah. I mean, I like that. I mean, Schultz, we talked about all week. Schultz had a pretty good chance last week to play. He didn't. So, you know, looks good for him this week as long as there's no setbacks. And it doesn't sound like there is one. Jayron Kearse, same thing. Michael Gallup. Is that on your list, too?
No, I'm just assuming he's going to play. I'm hoping mentally he's right this week. But
okay. I think that's getting a little overblown. Well, I just think –
I mean, those are his words.
I know, but anytime you throw that in there, it just sounds like he was scared to play. I just think that it's like he's going to be ready to go. I think that, you know – the knee bone's connected to the hip bone type thing. It's all the same. Mental, physical, it's all the same. So I think like if he's not ready mentally, then he's not ready physically and vice versa. That's
right.
Kind of what I'm saying.
And I think that's true. I think Mike McCarthy did a good job this morning on 105.3 The Fan of saying that. And he was like, look, the way we look at it, he said the way I look at it, is all those three things are whether a guy's ready to play or not. You know, I think the outside media probably thinks of it like, well, when he's physically ready – then he's back on the field. Sure. But he said, from a football perspective, we always look at all those things. He said, we look at the physical, we look at the emotional, we look at the mental. And all three need to be right because when guys are coming back from injury, you want to make sure they feel good about where they are before they go out there. So,
like, hypothetically, if a guy has a thumb injury, the thumb might be ready to go, but you wonder if mentally he will.
He might need another 9 weeks.
Just something like that.
Rest of the season, I don't know, AIR. Go ahead, Amber, sorry.
No, I was just going to say that when I heard that last week, to me, it was kind of shocking to hear those commentary, like that comment of like, okay, well, he wasn't ready mentally. But yet it was like something that, man, I really respect that, the way that they've handled, because typically you would imagine, okay, you're under contract, you got to play. Like, there's a reason why we're paying you. If you're physically ready and our medical staff is saying your body's good to go, then go. But the fact that they are, like, to hear that kind of support on the mental side of things is just very, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but just...
Refreshing?
Refreshing, yes, that's a good word. So it's nice to hear that, and I would assume, given that support and hearing the comments from his teammates, even CeeDee Lamb yesterday talking to the media, he's going to be back on that field. And I would imagine this week just kind of got him pumped up and ready to go.
After what happened last night to Tua in that game, we're all now the sense of awareness for injury. And I think it's even heightened even more. We saw what happened to him against Buffalo last week. Then they play on a Thursday night game. Those images were horrific of him laying on the field last night and him getting carted off. And the one thing that I know, and I've been super critical of Mike McCarthy through his administration here, The one thing that I do respect about him is he does have an understanding about injury, and he does have an understanding about, hey, let's make sure that the players are okay with this. Let's not just put them out there because we're trying to save jobs or we're trying to win games. And I do respect him. I've talked to a lot of people around the league, and he's one of the top ones when it comes to, hey, let's make sure that our players are right. I've worked with organizations that hasn't always been that way. It's like, hey, why are we not playing this guy? You only have 17 of these things. Why are we not playing this guy? And I think the thing with the way that the training staff here, the doctors here, the head coach, I think they actually do it the right way. And if, you know, if Dalton Schultz isn't ready, and, you know, and the receiver's not ready, or anybody else is not ready, and they're not putting them out there, it's for a reason. And I think they do it the right way here. I really, really do believe that with my heart.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I mean, the world has changed. Let's be honest about it. Like, football we grew up on is not football of today. There was this stigma, I think, that came along with it, that you're not tough if you
don't play hurt.
If you don't play hurt, that's really the thing. It wasn't even about the mental side. It was like, literally, even if you're hurt, get back out there. And I do think that has changed. It's probably changed for the better, because – let's also remember, this is a game, guys. And you're talking about people's lives, and these are people. So I think it's changed. And I was with you, Amber. When I heard the statement, at first I was kind of like, oh, that's interesting. And then I thought about it and was like, you know, it's kind of refreshing that they're thinking about it. And the player actually can be in a world where he plays football, but he can say, you know, I don't feel like I'm quite there yet. I don't feel like I'm ready yet to get back out on the field. And nobody has to look at him and say, you're weak because of
that. Before, you would never even dare to say those things out of your mouth, like let those words come out of your mouth, to use like I'm not ready mentally or anything like that. That was like frowned upon. I'm over here. I need a dictionary, an English dictionary. But it's just, yes, definitely refreshing to see that they do have now that kind of openness to speak about it, because we know that it goes beyond just the physical aspect of things. You got to be otherwise, you risk another injury. Like, if you're not there and you can't process and comprehend what's going on and allow your mind to give your body the signals that it needs to move and react, you definitely might risk another injury.
Yeah, there's injuries that these guys are going to have to deal with the rest of their lives, whether it's bones, knees, ankles, shoulders, backs. Those are the things that are really part of the game. The things to do with head injuries and trauma and stuff like that, that's something, you know, they're trying to do these studies and they're trying to figure these things out. They're trying to make better helmets and things like that. And you know, I'm talking a little bit about the Tua situation, but I think it's overall, you know, you're really not going to have a product if you don't take care of these players, you know, and we're having a point in time where there's a lot of young families that are not letting their sons play football. They're just not. It's the, you know, and you're having to talk these parents into, well, no, it's safer. That's safer because, you know, 20 years ago, Ronnie Lott's cutting off his finger to play in a game. You know, that's there. Hey, just
that's extreme.
I know it's messed up bad, but cut the finger off. I got to play. You know that. I hope we're not doing that anymore. You know, not for my entertainment.
Yep.
You know.
Yep. All right. Let's go to the phones. We got a call from Fernando in Miami. Fernando, what up?
What's up, guys? Big fan.
Thank you.
And Amber, I want to start by saying you're the most beautiful thing on this earth.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Okay, guys, I just want to talk about the controversy, the quarterback controversy. And I've been thinking about this even before Dak's contract. I think there's a couple of games that Dak played that I did not like. That he didn't play well. The New England game, I thought that was a big game when they went to Boston and Brady was there, and he couldn't pull off a win, and he didn't play well. The Titans game, the first game with Amari Cooper, he got a couple of breaks early in the game. We got fumbles, and we only got field goals out of that game. And then Thanksgiving, the Chargers game, the Buffalo game, he was totally outplayed by those quarterbacks. And then, you know, last year, the Denver game, and then the San Francisco game, the playoff game, we had 10 points going into the fourth quarter. So maybe there should be a quarterback. Oh, and there's one more game. Well, we went to the Detroit game, Dallas like 2 or 3 years ago. The Cowboys played the Lions. At the end, we pulled that game off, I think, with a Mar field goal that, you know, Dak threw a bomb to Ezekiel. And we almost lost that game to Detroit. So those games made me think, damn, is Dak worth all this money?
Well, let me ask you a question real quick, sir. What about other games you feel like he's played well?
Other games he has played well, but I think he's been lucky.
He wasn't lucky to beat Aaron Rodgers his first year. He wasn't lucky to beat Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, this guy's won games. He's won some big games for you.
Yeah,
you know, I think you're cherry picking some games. But I think the thing about it, if you're thinking that Dak is making too much money, is that what you're basing this argument on?
No, not really the money. Just and the way the Cowboys wanted him to get 5 years. He took four, you know, and now I'm thinking, wait a minute.
I don't think that's his fault. I don't think that's his fault. That's a strategy that him and his agent and the Cowboys could have negotiated with him much earlier than this. They could have got this deal done much earlier. They chose to take this route.
True, but I also think he's been lucky. He's been in a bad division with bad quarterbacks. I think that's helped him out a lot.
Okay. Right. Thanks for the call. I get a little bit. I listened to a comment like that, and I think the first thing that comes to my mind is, okay, so name me the quarterback that you can go through their career and didn't have games where maybe they didn't play their best, or didn't have games where they lost when they didn't have a good first half and they didn't have enough to get their team back to win it. Like, name that quarterback, because I think that's an unfair expectation. If you're going to go through Dak's entire career and you can pinpoint five games, yeah. I think that was the number, five games where, yeah, this might have been Dak's fault. Let's assume it was his fault in those five games out of his entire career. I just don't know what the argument we're trying to make here. Because to me, the argument you're making actually says he's a pretty good freaking quarterback. If he's got five bad games in his career, I'll take that. That's just the nature of you're playing against professionals. You're not going to be perfect. Every game's not going to go according to plan. Every game you're not going to be at your best. Like, that's the nature of being human and playing football.
I just real quick remember that game he was talking about in New England, though. That was a bad weather game. Brady was bad in that game. It came down to defense and special teams, I think, in that particular game. I think both quarterbacks, Tom Brady wasn't very good in that game either. So it was really Belichick, you know, the scheme and what you were able to do there. I like what you're talking about with the, you know, I think there's some faults of Dak Prescott. I don't think he's an elite quarterback. I think these elite quarterbacks, their ability to see, to read, to find, to make those throws that are those difference-making throws. I think even if this group right here that I'm with, they did a documentary about Dak, and they even talked to Dan Mullen, his coach, and they think, you know, hey, the guy, he wasn't about throwing the ball and things like that. There are limitations that he has. And there's a reason why those guys are elite. But, you know, the other intangibles that he has, you know, more than make up for some of the deficiencies that he has. So I really wanted to believe. I mean, I was disappointed after the first game. I really was, because on 105.3, I was like, listen, he's going to put all this injury stuff behind him. He's going to come out. He's going to be this Dak we saw in 2016. He's going to be mobile. He's going to be able to do everything. But it didn't happen that way. But I know this now. He's got limitations. You know, but I'm willing to deal with the limitations, because I think there are other things about his game that put him into that group where you're saying, okay, you can win a lot of games with this guy. And they've won a lot of games with him playing quarterback. It's not just the other team's quarterback was bad.
Do you think that the money is what people have such a huge problem with?
Absolutely.
That?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
100%. They think that. I mean, but then again, if you ask him, you ask people, well, where do you think Dak ranks among top quarterbacks in the league? They'd say probably anywhere between 7 and 15. That's probably where he ranks money-wise. He didn't when he signed the contract.
Yeah.
But where he is now, he's probably the 7th or 8th highest paid quarterback.
I'm
just saying, I mean, he is where he is. And I think to call him lucky is very short-sighted. Because I remember him getting carted off the field in New York with his ankle turning the other way. It didn't seem very lucky to me. And getting his thumb slammed into a helmet on a routine throw in the fourth quarter.
Where a backup guard didn't pick up his guy, right?
Yeah. I don't think luck has been anything a part of his career. I really don't. You know, in his life.
Yeah,
he's got. I mean, every Mother's Day, ask him how lucky he thinks he really is. So I don't have a problem with calling Dak Prescott lucky. He's earned everything that he is to this point. He fights his ass off. He's a football player that plays quarterback, and I don't think everybody in the league does that. So yeah, to say here's six games over the course of his career that he didn't win. We have time for the other 58 or whatever. Yeah. I just thought that's short-sighted.
The thing about the money thing, that's I give Dak and his agent a lot of credit. He waited you out. You know, he waited you out. The Cowboys could have been much more proactive and made this almost like a Jimmy Garoppolo contract, $25, $28 million. But you waited. And then you talk about not taking the fifth year. He's thinking like, okay, if you're not going to compensate me for that, I'll take a shorter contract and I'll get back at this again.
Yep.
I'll make you give me a third contract.
Yep.
You know, and so when you start to talk about and this is the thing that we deal with, it's money. Tank Lawrence dealt with it. Amari Cooper dealt with it. Everybody that makes money has dealt with that. Like, well, they're not worth that. That's the low hanging fruit when you start to like criticize players. He makes too much money. That's the first thing, you know, because you don't have a really good argument other than, well, he hadn't looked good against the Patriots. He didn't really look good. Well, how about the other games he did look good? You know, and you talk about bad quarterbacks, bad teams. You know, Philadelphia Eagles won a Super Bowl just a few years ago. You know, he has a career winning percentage against them that's pretty incredible the last time I checked.
You know, I'm the first one to criticize because this is kind of what we do on here. But I've also learned over time to look at it a different way. It's like, okay, it's easy to criticize a player, but then what are the options? If not him, then who? And I've realized, too,
Cooper
how
Rush.
Difficult. Well, true.
And on the next segment.
And on the next, yeah. No, but I realized how difficult it actually is to find a well-rounded quarterback. I was here.
It's tough.
I got here towards the end of, you know, when Tony Romo got towards the end of mm-hmm. getting closer to the end of his career. I was here when we went through different quarterbacks, Matt Castle, Kellen Moore. I'm thinking of all these other ones that I can't remember their names. But
Brandon Whedon.
Brandon Whedon. Yeah, not a very nice guy, but not good on the field. But anyways, the point is, I went through that little period where I saw how miserable it is to not have a quarterback that you can feel that you can win games with. And then you get this diamond in the rough that just suddenly appeared in a fourth round, and he starts winning games for you, and he starts playing, and he shows everything that you would want a quarterback to be. The only problem is you're not going to get
perfection.
Perfection. And Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady type of players. And the thing that I feel that we always talk about here as far as Dak Prescott, he does need the help. Most quarterbacks do. And it just hasn't gotten you to where you want to be. But I think that you got to look at everything else that surrounds Dak, and it's not just his fault.
In when Nick first started covering this team in 1999, I was starting the same time in personnel. I would have killed to have Dak Prescott as our quarterback. We had nobody. We tried everybody. We tried baseball players. We tried everybody.
Baseball players.
We tried guys that were broken first round picks. Ryan Leafs. We've tried everybody. I would have killed. And I would still be working in scouting, I believe, if I would have had a quarterback that was as good as Dak Prescott. But that's how hard this is. Yeah. It's how hard it is to find these guys. You know, I think we got very fortunate with Tony Romo. Nick will tell you, he was covering the team. These guys all covering the team and when Quincy Carter fails a drug test. We were going to cut Tony Romo.
Yeah.
That shows you how close we were to really screwing this thing up.
Yeah.
You know, those are the kinds of things. I mean, Dak is not perfect. But if you're getting on him about certain things, he's not perfect. He doesn't throw the ball perfectly. He doesn't read all the time very well. But there's other traits that he has that makes him a winning quarterback. And I would have killed to have a guy like that in 2000.
Yeah, it's ironic. I was actually just telling Nick that this morning about how at the point when Dak got here, I was actually loving the idea of keeping Dak in place of Romo even when Romo was healthy. And the main reason why was because you go back to the early 2000s, and I remember how much it was not fun. Those 5-11 seasons when you don't have a quarterback, when you don't have a quarterback on
your
team,
you're in hell.
Yeah, because every season you enter the season knowing we're basically fighting an uphill battle. And as you go through the season, you're like, there really is no help on the way, because if the quarterback doesn't play well, and then you're going to play these other really good quarterbacks, and you're not even beating the average quarterbacks. Like, you don't have an average quarterback. You got quarterbacks that are down in the lower part of the league. It is no fun. And so I think when the Cowboys got, I will say they got lucky to get Dak Prescott. When they got lucky to get Dak Prescott, to me that became a godsend for them. And I'm not doing anything necessarily run that away.
The scouts thought they had Dak Prescott and Jamil Showers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was the argument. Wade Wilson's like, whoa, what are we doing here, boys? You know, no, Wade, we've got him. Jamil Showers, that's Dak Prescott. What? You know, I mean, seriously?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the kind of things you go through, you know, when you're trying to find the quarterback position, that you're just like, there's some unbelievably bad decisions made along the way,
yep,
trying to find that guy. So you better be careful what you wish for if you want to move on from guys.
All right, we're going to take our first break. We're going to come back. We got some phone calls already lined up. We're going to get into some matchups too, a couple different positions I want to talk to these guys about. We'll do that when we come back. This is DallasCowboys.com Radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a 3-hour-long ritual of jumping, singing, and toasting Miller Lite in 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them Cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the Cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Want to use what the pros use? How about the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys? Jack Black. Right now you can get the Jack Black Starter, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The starter includes 4 Jack Black skincare favorites plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word TEAMJB. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys. The Jack Black Starter, $10, free shipping.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far, with up to $10,000 towards your down payment, or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less. The satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Back to the break.
Book an appointment at your local Essilor experts. Find the perfect Essilor lens for you. See more, do more with Essilor.
Welcome back. It is the second segment of The Break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. Our segment here is presented by blockchain.com. Let's jump to the phone lines. We got a call from Tom in Roanoke, Virginia. Tom, what up?
How you doing, Derek?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I think the quarterback discussion about Dak, and Brian has been on this and probably seen more of it than anybody. When Tony Romo went out and they had to play Dak, you have to give credit to Scott Linehan that said this is his comfortable skill to win the game and used as many plays that were in the playbook that focused on that skill. After that first season, they decided, okay, this guy has the ticket to be a franchise quarterback, we have to transition him into a pocket passer. I just think everyone says we want the rookie Dak back, and I think that Dak is a winning quarterback. I just, you know, sitting in the pocket trying to pre-snap, read the defense isn't his strongest suit as much as it is in a RPO situation. He reads the reaction of the player in front of him or the player in the play to continue the play. Does that make sense?
Thanks for the call. Guys, think.
I mean, it's not about rookie Dak. I mean, I think I'd rather have rookie Zeke. I mean, I think that team was – I'd rather have 2016 Frederick
rookie
and Martin.
Line.
Yeah, and that offensive line. I mean, yeah. I think that was –
Ron Leary.
Supporting cast yeah. around him was a lot stronger. And, you know, you said that earlier about, you know, playing for the future and playing and trying to keep developing Dak and I get it. I mean, but in hindsight, now you look at it and go, okay, how much did he change from 16 to where he is now? And he has. He's developed, of course. But that was also their moment. That was their time. That was they drafted Zeke to play with an experienced Romo, and he got hurt, and he got healthy-ish again. And, you know, I think you can still look back and go, I wonder what would have happened if Romo would have played later in the year, played in the playoff game. But you couldn't do it because Dak had earned the right to be the guy. And so, yeah. I mean, but it was just, it's one of those what-if situations.
I don't think that it was Dak's fault they lost the Green Bay game. I think he went toe-to-toe with that guy pretty well. I think that there was some, I think I hit a third and 19 yeah. on you.
I don't think Romo gets down 21-3, but Dak brought him back. So, I mean, yeah. it's an argument.
And the other part to that, too, like, Romo's had some games where he's sure. had to bring them back. And, you know, it's been those kind of games for him, too.
I would have liked to see it. But if they win the game and, yeah. you know, Crosby doesn't make that field goal, they go win the game. Or if
then just, you catch Atlanta at home.
If he blasted Rodgers. If he fumbles the ball at any other quarterback.
That's what I'm saying.
Kick it. No one ever asks if Romo should have played. Right. So, it is what it is.
Okay.
I thought it was a miracle, by the way, that Rodgers held on to that ball.
Me too. Okay.
He holds on to the ball. On the other side of the field, Orlando Scandrick is standing there, and it's going to be two hops into his chest, and it's going to be ball game. Yeah. You know? So that's
Scandrick would have got it?
I think he would have got it.
Okay.
Yeah, he would have. Scandrick would have got it. He was standing there.
He would have scooped that one up?
He would have scooped that one up.
No, I'm kidding.
I was going to ask, and this might be dumb, but whatever. I didn't get to see much of Romo's career playing, so I'm just, as I sit here and listen to you guys, obviously different players, but could Dak be just another Romo? Like, as far as what he ended up giving the Cowboys in his career type of stuff. Not how he did it, but just kind of, it never led to where you want to
be.
Well,
let me ask you this question, because I have a hard time with that sometimes, because I think people are very black and white about quarterbacks. It's either you're a championship quarterback or somehow you underachieved. And the way I look at that is I think winning a championship in the NFL, although Tom Brady makes this statement seem stupid, is very, very hard. And there are some really good quarterbacks. I'm talking some excellent quarterbacks that have never won a championship. So I don't necessarily think it's fair. We don't do it with any other players, but I don't think it's fair to say you're either a championship-level quarterback or you aren't quite good enough. I think Tony Romo was a really good quarterback in this league. And I don't think the championship was necessarily how I grade him. Now, he might not have been among the best, but I think he was a very, very good quarterback. And so when you say that, I would say, yes, Dak is right there in that same range as Tony. What I mean by that is those very, very good quarterbacks, not the ones that are going to be best in the league, not the ones that are going to Hall of Fame, but in that next echelon of quarterbacks, I think Dak can be there. I think that's a fair place to put him. Somewhere like Nick said, somewhere in that, I would have even say more like about that 6 to 12, 6 to 11. At any given point in his career, I think he's in that range. And to me, that's a very good quarterback. Getting to a championship is about so much more than just quarterback play. There's a lot of other factors involved.
A lot of luck, too.
It is. There's a lot of other factors that the quarterback has no control over whatsoever.
Injuries. You know? Yeah. If, better chance for Romo, real quick, because you're the historian of this group.
Yeah.
07 or 16?
If he could have
run a team, he ran the 07 team, but which one of the team do you have a better shot at?
07, I think the game against Carolina, the game where I got pink eye at halftime. But that game, though, when T.O. got hurt, high ankle sprain, I think that changed a lot because I think they really could have gone. And I think they would have beaten the Giants. He ran and around anyways and played. But I think that 07 team was probably the better chance there. But I don't know. I mean, I've always said this about Romo. If he would have ever won a championship, he would have been – I think he would have been considered the best in the NFL, the best in the league. Because think about it. It only took one out of Rodgers or Breeze. They've only had one, and they get considered that way. If he would have done what he does, Romo things in a championship game, Super Bowls and all that, he would be considered the best of that time. And I don't know if they win a Super Bowl and Dak's the guy, he'll definitely get elevated. I don't know if he would ever be considered like, well, he's better than Mahomes.
Yeah, but he'll be better than Brad Johnson and the, you know, the guy at Baltimore.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah, Super Bowls. I mean, in the league.
I mean, they won't throw him into that terrible list of guys. Well, go, you know,
no.
Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl.
No, not that. I'm talking about
Eli Manning won.
I'm talking about his 6-12.
Oh,
if he won a Super Bowl, he would be like 3. Don't you think?
But I think the difference is, like, for example, the way I would equate that is like Rodgers versus Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. Like Roethlisberger was always considered that top 5 guy. He was rarely considered when you start saying the top guy.
Yeah.
But he won championships, so that got him into that top 5. Dak would be that top 5 kind of guy. Maybe not the top, but he would be that top 5 kind of guy with a championship.
Rodgers is running into this thing where he's a great regular season quarterback, mm-hmm. and you get him in the championship games, and he doesn't finish.
It's true.
That's going to be one of those things that they're going to say. It's almost like Jim Kelly in Buffalo back in the day. You know, Jim Kelly with all the Super Bowl and not finish.
Never could
Fran
get
Tarkin,
championship.
Not finish.
Well, if you want to knock guys, you can always do that. People try They knock LeBron James for that same reason. Yeah. Like he doesn't win all of the
But he's always in it.
That's fair, though.
Yeah.
No, it isn't fair.
That's fair.
My God.
He's not Mike. It's okay.
Okay.
Not everybody can be
Mike. Oh, my God. You know what? I like you, but you're not Jesus Christ. So you know what? You're not.
Hey, it's fair.
But he was supposed to
be. I'm with you on Mike.
I'm just saying.
I'm with him too.
Okay.
I think Michael's the best.
Yes.
But
he'll always be the best.
That's fine. This guy was supposed to be the next Michael Jordan, and he was. He's just not as good.
He's not him, yes. Okay.
I mean, the expectation. Yeah. Michael Jordan was supposed to be the third pick in the draft, and he was great. This guy was supposed to be Michael Jordan, and he was.
Welcome back to Talking Lakers.
I'm sorry. I just I just think expectations. A lot of times, one thing I hate is when people get judged off expectations mm-hmm. that you created.
Right.
Like you created
so who's
this
wrong
expectation.
Here?
Yeah.
So who's wrong?
It's like, okay, well, oh man, this guy's got him in the playoffs every year, and it's like, but they can't win. It's like, true. Okay, you're right. But those expectations are created because of you. So I think it's not always fair.
All right, we're going to take our final break. We will come back. We got another phone call lined up. We got some questions from fans, and we got some matchups we need to get to. We got a lot to do in the final segment. We only got 15 minutes. We will figure it out. We'll be back. This is DallasCowboys.com Radio.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field, United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling, United Ag and Turf for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Lil Sweet! Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's on something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far with up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less. The satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to the break.
This Sunday, October 2nd, from 11:30 to 3:30 here at the Star in the Ford Center, while the Cowboys are taking on the Washington Commanders, you can bring your kids to the first game day minicamp presented by Invisalign. To register your footballer for camp, visit DallasCowboys.com/academy.
Welcome back. It is the final segment of the show live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star, presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. I got to say real quick, it's a personal thing real quick. You mentioned October 2nd. That's this Sunday. It's my wife's 50th birthday this Sunday, so I want to say happy 50th birthday to my beautiful wife, Sunise. We won't be on the air Sunday, so it's a good day for me to say it.
Are you okay with revealing that type of information?
Yes, absolutely she is. We both have an agreement. Like, we're okay with the idea people know we're about to be 50. We're okay with that. We're living our lives big.
And she looks amazing, yeah.
She does.
By the way.
Well, she does.
And you like the fact that she's older than you.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you probably
look,
mentioned
I'm the little tenderoni, man. You know, I'm her young stuff, you know. But all right, anyway, let's get back into the show. We only got 15 minutes here. We actually only got 11 minutes here. But we got a lot of stuff. We got a lot of ground to cover. Real quick, I want to get some matchups, some ideas on some matchups and how you guys think these matchups will play out. Let's talk first about the Dallas wide receivers versus the Washington cornerbacks. Brian, you talked about it yesterday, how aggressive this secondary is.
It is.
How do you guys think that plays out?
I'm interested to see what happens with – I would go after, like I say, there's the two guys you have to worry about are Kendall Fuller and then Benjamin St. Juice. And those are the two guys. We'll see what William Jackson does. I was talking with some people in Washington. He just hasn't really been healthy enough. But the other two corners are doing just fine for them. They've got a couple of good safeties that have played. This Derek Forrest is a good player for them. So how will they do that? Will they try and take the safeties and take guys away from you? If they're going to leave somebody by himself, I think they're going to probably leave Fuller by himself. So look for the safeties to work with St. Juice in this game. So whoever was on Fuller, the ball needs to go down the field. Mm-hmm. No, take a shot. Take a shot or two if you can. If you have to max protect that thing, take a shot against these corners. They're super aggressive. They'll bite on underneath stuff to try and get interceptions or get past defense.
The other big matchup I want to talk about, actually there are a few others, but the next one I want to talk about is the Dallas offensive line versus the Washington defensive line. Nick, how do you think that plays out?
Well, I think that, you know, play action is going to be important to take those shots down the field. But to do that, you got to run the football, too. You got to make them honest in how they run it. So I think it's going to be really big. Listening to McCarthy this morning about Jason Peters, it was hard to get a good read of what they're doing there and what they want to do with him. I think he's going to play some and probably play more than what he did. I'm not sure if he starts, not sure how they handle that. But he definitely has the size in there and the beef, and that's what you need against those guys. But running the ball is going to be key because it's going to allow them to throw the ball down the field and be more creative with the offense.
I would rather see Nick's buddy sooner than later, to be honest with you.
Peters.
Peters. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of beef there in the middle of that defense.
Payne, Allen, those guys, you just can't let them just wreck shop on you when you're trying to run the ball. It's going to be hard enough for Farniak and the center to be able, Biotis to be able to handle these
and
guys.
He's played with the Eagles. I mean, he's played against Washington before. Yeah. He kind of has a good familiarity of what they're doing there scheme-wise, too. So even if he's playing a different position, he understands kind of what they're doing.
You guys expect him to be the starter this week?
don't know.
I don't think he's going to start, but man, I'll tell you what, the second play he needs to trot into the game.
Is it that important to make get Farniok to start?
I just feel like, though, you know, you saw last week that he's capable. This team looked different with him, you know, in there running the football.
Yeah.
And it helps that rookie to his left to know that his mentor's to the right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like when he walks back to the huddle, you know, they could, you know, after a big play, you know, I'm sure that Peters is going to say, hey, good job. You got to be alert, man, when they twist this thing up. Get ready. They're going to twist on us. He's going to rock back in his stance. And, you know, he's going to talk to the rookie the whole time. Whereas I think Farniak has done a nice job, but there's just not that power and there's not the experience mm-hmm. to say, hey, this is what they're going to do to us now. Get ready. And I feel when if they win this game and he's played quite a bit, Tyler Smith is going to say that Peters was a huge help to him throughout that game.
Okay, so here's the final one. Who's the best quarterback this weekend, Cooper Rush or Carson Wentz?
Cooper Rush.
I think skills wise, it's probably their guy. Skills wise, but your guy's not broken. Their guy is. Their guy is very mentally fragile.
Mm-hmm.
Now you talk about big arm. He's capable of launching this thing. Mm-hmm. If Dallas doesn't play well in the secondary, he's capable of firing this ball to Terry McLaurin or Dotson or Samuel if he gets time.
Yeah.
But there's, mentally, he's not very strong.
There's just more room for error on their side than Cooper Rush. So to me, that automatically makes Cooper Rush a better quarterback because of the scenario that he's going to be playing in.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is, you know, I mean, Carson Wentz is like Texas weather. Can be really hot, can be really cold. Cooper Rush is more California, where it's going to be kind of steady and going to be calm most of the time. And that could be good enough, you know. Mm-hmm. That could be really good when it's there. I think there's, you know, so it's up to the Cowboys defense to put Carson Wentz in that cold weather situation. And, you know, and I just think that I think on his best day, I think Carson Wentz is better, but I don't know how frequent that really is.
This is a game where I actually want to see what Malik Hooker does, because I do think they're going to probably take some shots. They're going to have some situations where I think they're probably going to tell him, look, you're going to take a 5-step drop and you're going to launch it, and we're going to see what happens. That's where I want to see somebody like Hooker be able to track, get to the ball, and make a play on the ball.
He did that in the Tampa game.
Yeah, this would be a great opportunity for him to
Terry McLaurin is, and usually if you look through history, though, there's been traveling. Diggs has shut him down. Diggs has traveled with McLaurin in the past. So, man, but helping over the top is not. Jahan Dotson, though, from his days at Penn State, is a vertical player.
Exactly.
And he can run.
And he's had some big plays already for them earlier this season.
This is a big game for Jordan Lewis. I think Jordan Lewis in the slot, because the guys like Dotson, McKissick,
Samuel.
It's those type of guys. It's going to be a tough matchup in the inside like that. I think it's going to be real important for Jordan Lewis to play a good game.
All right, let's get a phone call real quick from Chris in Indianapolis. Chris, what up?
What's up? Love every show you guys got.
Thank you, sir.
I really want to apologize for the most ridiculous call I've ever heard in my life. I've listened to your guys' show since you've been on the internet, 47 years old, and that guy cherry-picking Dak's game. If you don't like him, you don't like him. But here, I'll name a quarterback that's had a perfect game. No one ever, ever. The New England game, a rainstorm, a windstorm. Brady had a terrible game. I think that game was lost because of a blocked punt.
It was.
Second, the DBs, that's going to be the key of the game. Because those receivers can make plays. Everybody, the Cowboy fans think, just because the Eagles got 9 sacks, that we're going to get 15 sacks. Don't work like that. Last, love the show, and prayers to Gavin Escobar's family. Sad, sad situation.
All right, thanks for the call. Thanks for the call. And,
good
Gavin
job setting
Escobar.
That call up, Derek.
Yeah, Gavin Escobar, we heard the news last night that he passed away. Very sad situation. Nick, and I think you made a comment about kind of what he and other tight ends that were brought in during that era kind of meant. But what were your thoughts on Gavin, first of all?
I'd rather start there. But, Gavin, I mean, and a quiet guy for sure, and was here, you know, to kind of be a second tight end and help complement Jason Witten and all that. And his career wasn't, you know, it wasn't what they thought it was going to be. And, you know, he bounced around a little bit, I'm sure, signing with other teams, hoping that he could, you know, be that second tight end. It just didn't work out. But more than anything, I mean, here's a guy that, you know, he's 30. 41 years old, and he's got a wife and two kids, and you know, he serves the community as a fire department, you know, and it's just it's sad, and you would think we're getting used to this season, this year. Yeah, tragically, it's been a crazy year like that, but it never does get easy to hear anything like that, and it's just. It's terrible news, and I'm sure everybody – I mean, I know, you know, you guys were all just blown away when you heard about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was obviously not expected. I mean, it's one of those things where – not to say that it's easier or expected when you're dealing with someone who's older, but definitely when it's someone who is in the prime of their life and you hear that they've passed away, it's very, very shocking. And I was just completely shocked when I heard the news. Yeah. And my thoughts and prayers go out to his wife and kids, and it's just a sad situation all the way around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had no idea he was even working at the fire department,
yeah.
Which was, I mean, that's amazing. Very sad news. He was actually one of my first interviews when I first got here.
Spoke Spanish, right?
He did not.
Oh, I thought he was one of those guys that...
No, he just has the last name that it's in Spanish, but
there's
no.
There's a story there. It's not funny.
He did not speak Spanish, but he was one of my first one, okay. And just... The fact that he, you know, me coming here, it's very intimidating, something new. I've never spoken to players and things like that. But the fact that he was a quiet guy, he was that kind of personality that's just calm, just made me feel comfortable. He always had a smile, didn't speak much, but he would always have a nice smile. So it's pretty devastating to hear anything like that happen.
It's sad.
And what I was referring to about that, too, is I do think Gavin Escobar – Martellus Bennett, Anthony Fasano, those guys extended Jason Witten's career. I think when they drafted, they kept drafting these second round tight ends. Jason Witten was the type of guy that was like, "Oh, okay, you really want to draft the guy in the second round? You think I'm done? Is that what you think? Okay, watch this. You know,
wasted your pick.
Hold my beer. Watch this. I'm gonna set records here and that. And it never got him on the field. You know, he didn't want to come off the field with two tight end sets and all that stuff, especially not to catch the ball. So But again, that's not why we're talking about Gavin Escobar. I mean, I thought about that sort of with Witten, but yeah, it was a sad deal. Other stuff that he talked about in the call, he talked about, you know, we thought, you know, that was a small sample size to talk about Dak, but what else did he say? Corners? I was just trying to go through the calls.
They're going to get tested.
Yeah. They will.
I think we already know. I think that's kind of what we're talking about with the matchup. Like, it's going to be a... It's going to be an interesting
What was his name, Chris? Was he from Indianapolis?
Indianapolis, yeah.
That's awesome because I just think – because his accent makes me feel like home, you know what I mean? It's whether that's Texas or Arkansas or whatever. Now, you know he's in Indiana and probably people give double takes like, where are you from? But I love it. I love it. That is home to me.
Yeah. All right, we're going to real quick get into our picks for the game. Let's go around the table. What do you think is going to happen? Nick, you want to go?
Yeah, I've said this a lot, you know, as far as – trends go. I like where the Cowboys are going score-wise on offense. They've gone up 3 weeks in a row, and defense it's gone down 3 weeks in a row. So I'm going to keep that theme going. I think they're better than Washington. I think it'll, you know, I think this has some signs of being a trap game, but I think talent's going to just override here, especially on defense going up against the offense. So I'm going to go Cowboys 24-12.
All right.
Got one?
I got the Cowboys winning. 30. Yeah.
Awesome. We going big.
Why not? I mean, why not? I think that right now I'm trusting Cooper Rush and his arm and his peacefulness and mindfulness of, you know, being thoughtful in his throws and all that. I think that CeeDee Lamb will have a much better game. I think that if Michael Gallup does in fact play in this game, the offense is going to have a whole new look to it this week. So I'm excited to see that in the running game. I think it's going to keep being steady how it's been since last week. So Cowboys 30, and I have them maybe like 17 points.
I'm going to go with you're going to either get a defensive touchdown or a special teams touchdown. I think they're really close on hitting both of those. So that'll help you. Dallas 27, the Commanders 20.
All right. And I actually think this is going to be a much closer game than a lot of people think. I look at it like this. I think Washington's a better team than New York.
Yeah.
I think Dallas beat New York. And a lot of the game, Nick, you even mentioned this at one point during the game.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like the score was really reflective of what we were watching.
Mm-hmm.
You felt like the Cowboys were the better team throughout that game
right.
against the Giants, but the score was not that. And I think the reason why is because the defense does what it does. It keeps the other team out of scoring situations, and even if they're going to give up a score, it's going to be three typically. And the offense is not a high-scoring offense. It's an offense that's going to take some opportunities. It's going to get some scores here and there, but I don't think they're going to necessarily blow anybody out. And I think because of that, then you look at a Washington team that I think has a much better defense, that has better skill positions on offense. I think they will score a little bit more, and I think and I do think that Dallas will have to score a little bit more than maybe they would in some other games. But I think Dallas wins this game. I think it's a close one. I think it's 24-19, and I think it's close all the way down the end. It'll be a good game, I think, a really good game.
Dallas, if they get the ball, I mean, check on have they been doing a good job. I know the Giants game wasn't, but the Cincinnati game, the Tampa game, the first 15 for the Cowboys has been really
yep,
good.
Yeah.
Be nice if they could get on this board.
Penalty-free.
Yeah,
because they were moving.
Something like that, get seven up, you know, and then rush the passer like a son of a gun.
Yep. 30 points sounds like a lot, but really when you think about it, I mean Noah Brown was mugged in the end zone. They didn't call it. I mean, that's a four-point swing probably.
Yep.
And then, you know, miss a field goal too.
Yeah,
they had a drop
six,
pass.
Yeah.
Six. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, they're 7 points away from that, and they left a lot of points on the field.
Yeah,
so I don't think they're too far away from getting to that 30-30
yeah, threshold. The only thing I think about there is, like, I think that's what they are right now, is they're not going to be perfect.
Right.
Like, they're going to be those moments that are just not going to quite work out because that's what they are right now offensively. I think I agree with you, Brian. If it's going to get to 30, I think it's going to be because the defense or special team will give them a score, and then offense will fill in the rest. But appreciate you guys joining us. We'll be back on Monday. We'll tell you what went right and wrong for the Cowboys. Till then, for Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Amber Garcia, I am Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break, live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this?